It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio, and it's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. For all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and tailgate wine needs, please go to 409tailgateclub.com. And remember, the listener deemed with the number one question this week by Ross the Boss, they will receive a tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some various sauces and rubs. So, are you ready, Ross?
I am ready.
All right.
Let's try to get to a bunch. It never actually happens, but let's try.
No chance. There's no chance of that.
I think we will.
Okay.
I think we will. So Roman from Mechanicsburg, PA asks, coming out of high school, what do you remember as some of the biggest weaknesses and strengths of Sean Clifford? And have you seen any positive steps to mitigate those weaknesses?
So the weaknesses of Sean in high school were, number one, the injury. That's a big weakness. I mean, like,
yeah,
the labrum,
to have torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, right?
McSorley had the same thing in high school.
That's unbelievable. That's interesting. Well, maybe that's a good sign. maybe we should take that away as a negative. Maybe that's a positive that he had torn labrum in his throwing shoulder. So that's number one. And then he's a good athlete, not a great athlete. And you already know that. Like Micah Parsons was talking this week about how he's working on his speed. Let me just tell you, when you get to that point, there's not much you can do. From experience, you can't be a whole lot faster. And really, they don't need him or even probably want him to run that much or as much as Trace. He just needs to be able to get 5 to 10 yards when it's open.
Extend
it's
the play.
There. He's not going to have runs over 10 yards like Trace did sometimes. Right. Then what was it? Was it Iowa where we went like 50 yards down the sideline?
Yeah, after he got hurt, came back in the game, and he ran for a 51-yard touchdown.
I don't think Clifford's going to be able to do that, but I think I think he'll be able to run well enough. And I think that's key. I think he's really, really smart. I think I heard you saying in quarter one, Andy, just about the type of kid he is.
Yeah.
And I remember here on the Keystone Sports Network, and people can probably go back and check the archives and listen to it. I remember talking to him after he committed. He might have still been a junior in high school, and Dustin Hawkinsmith got him on, and we interviewed him. He was really impressive.
Yep.
I mean, really impressive. And that counts.
Yes.
I don't care. Everybody says that matters. That counts for something. He was really impressive. You know, he goes to a school like St. X in Ohio. He's just mature and wise beyond his years, and you already hear those things. I think he's going to be fine. I really do. I think he's going to surprise people, and I think for Penn State's chances of really doing something special in 2020, this is the best thing for them. I'm not convinced he'll be better than Tommy Stevens would have been this year, but I'll have more to say about Tommy Stevens in the next in quarter number four, because I haven't had a chance to chime in on that yet.
That's called foreshadowing. Also,
teasing.
Don't discount the physical change in Sean Clifford. He's
correct.
Up to 218. He told me he was a lot closer to 190 when he got there. He's physically ready, I think, to play quarterback in the Big Ten.
Yeah, there was a big difference in Sean. I got to know both Trace and Sean through Uplifting Athletes, and I will just tell you that they're both cut from the same mold.
You're trying to say that Tommy Stevens didn't like the community or didn't like helping people?
No, I'm just saying Tommy Stevens didn't step up and say, yeah, I'll be a leader. Both Sean and Trace did.
Interesting.
And I got to know them as people, not just the quarterbacks that they were. In fact, they both came to the leadership conference before they were starting.
Remember we were talking about getting to a lot of questions?
Yeah, Dan from Berwick asks, what do you think of the possibility of using Kuntz in the slot? Would that make it very tough to either cover him with a safety or linebacker? I was just wondering. Thanks.
I wouldn't say there's no chance, because that's a trend in the NFL, especially, is having bigger slot receivers. Because what happens is people want to have quick nickels because they're going against usually quick receivers like a Hamler or Wes Welker or Edelman or someone like that. So they're usually like like 5'9", 5'10",
right.
Then you put Marcus Colston or Jordan Matthews or some of these guys are like 6'4", then they got a real problem. You can throw it over their head down the seam, and there's not much they can do. You can back shoulder down the seam, and there's not much you can do. I don't know if they need 6'8", like Kuntz, and I don't know if he'd be able to get any separation against those kind of guys. And they wouldn't really treat him as a slot receiver. They would just treat him as a tight end.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, Gesicki was already in the slot all the time. They look at it the same. You know, they're going to treat the person. They're going to say he's a tight end. And if he's lined up in the slot, they're going to cover him the way they would.
As a tight end.
Probably with a linebacker. Maybe a safety.
You're listening to to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, and please drink blue and light. All right, let's keep going with your questions. Ryan in Frederick, Maryland asks, assuming in 2019 that we'll see more of a running back by committee at Penn State, is there a chance or a case where you think that this could hurt the offense more than it helps?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if the production you're getting from those three guys is not as good as it was from Saquon and Miles, and you'd have to think right now the odds are that it won't be. I mean, I don't think any of these guys are better than Miles or Saquon, right. And I don't think the line's going to be better than it was last year necessarily.
Yeah. I think the bigger issue is replacing Trace in the running game, because they're not replacing 1,300 rushing yards. They're replacing 2,000.
Right.
And we just talked about Sean Clifford really not being Trace in the running game. So you have to get close. And he ran for a bunch of yards when Saquon was here. So you're going to need to get a lot closer to 2,000 yards than you are to 1,300 yards in totality for the running game.
I think that's a good point, Bob. Really good point. So that's the negative. And like, it sounds good to have a running back by committee, but if Noah Kane and Journey Brown aren't nearly as productive as Ricky Slade, then there's not going to be a running back by committee. They're going to give Ricky Slade the ball a lot. I mean, yeah. Those other guys have to really do the job. Like when Alabama does it or Georgia does it,
right.
The next guy in's a total stud.
Right.
I don't know that we know that. Certainly Journey Brown. Noah Kane, the early returns on the blue-white game looked pretty promising.
So, all right, let's keep going. This is from Sean in Danville, California. He says he's originally from Smethport. He says, Ross, you know food. Please compare and contrast the nutrition programs in college versus the pros, and which of those has the better nutrition table overall for an athlete?
I do know food. However, this is something that I kind of missed. Like in college, first of all, at Princeton in the late 90s, there was no nutrition. I mean, first of all, Princeton doesn't have a training table. You eat in the residential college your freshman and sophomore year, then junior, senior, you eat in the eating club. And they really didn't even give that much guidance regarding what to eat. In the NFL, it was really varied. Like Washington, they would have a bunch of options, but didn't really say much to you about it. Dallas was total crap, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, total crap. Like mashed potatoes and fried chicken with all kinds of gravy on it. Like, unbelievable. Then I went to Buffalo, and Buffalo was really on top of it. Like, they told you what to eat every meal. They would have it for you, what you should eat. Like, Buffalo was on top of it. So I give them a lot of credit. And then New England, maybe not as much as you would think. I mean, they had a bunch of options, and it was mainly healthy stuff. So I kind of missed that. So I'd be lying if I tried to say which one's better, college or the NFL. I think they're both pretty darn good now. I would think that colleges probably invest even more money in it because they've got all this money to invest, and they can't give it to the players legally. So they got to put it somewhere. Whereas NFL teams can probably think, you know what, we're giving that guy $7 million a year. He can get his own chef and do his own food.
All right, let's keep going with your questions. This one comes from Kent in Raleigh, North Carolina. He says, Ross, I really appreciate your perspective, not only as a player, but an analyst of the sport. You come off all-knowing and confident, but you back it up.
Wait, where's this person from?
Here's your winner.
North Carolina.
He's already your winner.
He's getting there.
The leader right now in the clubhouse is the Sean Clifford question that was first.
Okay. Let's see how this one does. He says, I was glad to hear you say that you are not completely sure about our offensive line coach at Penn State. So my question is, how do you measure the effectiveness of the offensive line coach, and how long do you give him to turn this around in what would be adequate for your mind?
So it's really easy. There's two different things. There's individual player development, and then there's progress as a unit and production as a unit. I would say I'm not sure that their players are developing as much as you'd like. I think to have Michael Mennett, who was a high school tackle, now starting at center and playing pretty well, is a feather in Lime Grover's cap. I think I expected more from Will Fries last year. I think it was promising what I saw from C.J. Thorpe in the spring game, but I also was not real enamored with his pass blocking before then. I'm not sure how much Bates and McGovern, how much better those guys both got.
Right.
I mean, McGovern definitely got better, but it felt like Bates was like the same guy for 3 years.
No matter what position they lined.
And McGovern was kind of the same guy. And I think, let's put it this way, Mennett and Gonzalez will probably both at least get shots in the NFL. Fries probably as well. So they had five NFL-type guys last year who all had experience other than Mennett. I would have liked to have thought that they would be more productive against Ohio State. Well, they ran the ball pretty well in that game.
Michigan.
I would have thought that those guys would perform better. And Michigan State, too.
Michigan State has some pretty impressive players on defense, but you're right, especially at home.
I would expect that they would have performed better in those games. I think that's a good question. Bob, Sean Clifford or the Lime Grover question?
I feel like there's been a form of the Lime Grover question asked a bunch of times. I would go with Sean Clifford.
Let's go Sean Clifford.
There you go. All right, Sean Clifford. So let's go to, let's see who it is. It is Roman in Mechanicsburg. You will be receiving, what?
Why are you guys all laughing?
Because it costs about 10 cents to ship it.
Should we just drive it over there?
Yeah, give it to me. I'll drop it off on the way home. Give me your address. All right, that'll do it for quarter number three. Ask Ross. Coming up, we're going to let Ross go off about Tommy Stevens, and we're going to talk about Penn State potential recruit Julian Fleming. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.